We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome everyone to the Riverfront Red Show, a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. This is episode number 533, which is just a ludicrous number, of the world's most dangerous podcast, where we will discuss, you better believe it, the Cincinnati Reds. And then we're going to draft our all-time favorite Reds players. And I'm pretty pumped about this. With me this week are a pair of sophisticates. We'll start with, they're all familiar to you. Chad Dawson, say hi to the people.
Hi, people.
Well done. Thank you. Also this week, host of Late Night Reds, another familiar face, Tim Daniel. Tim, what's cooking, good looking?
Chilling, my man. So happy to be here with you guys.
I love it. Thank y'all. Hey, we're off to a hot start. Let's go. Just a heads up to everybody, we are recording this a day early. We all had some work stuff come up and we're not able to record at our usual time. So anything we talk about may or may not include the game that is going on right now, Reds versus the Phillies, and our standings update may not reflect Wednesday's games. But, we do the best we can. So get off our back. But before you get off our back, head over to YouTube and or your favorite podcast app. Give us a like, subscribe, follow, and if you want to go a little bit further, join that patreon.com/Riverfront Cincy family, where we are talking baseball, hoops, movies, everything under the sun, and having a good time doing it. All right, gentlemen, same thing every episode. Vibes check. How are we feeling so far? Chad, we'll start with you.
What's not to feel good about? I mean, you know, we start the season with injuries and suspensions and, some difficulties, Two projected starters, Matt McClain, Noelvi Marte, out for extended periods. Nick Lodolo doesn't answer the bell for opening day. But here we stand. Here we stand after almost 4 weeks, and the Reds are 13-10. And some of you may be like, ugh, just 13-10? And I'm like, well, they don't have these really important players, and they're on a pace to win 92 games. If you're not happy – right now, I mean, I don't know what you expect. Have you not lived through the last three decades of Reds baseball? This is my vibes check, baby. I'm buying stock in this team.
I love it.
I'm all there.
Couldn't agree more. Tim with a hat switch, mid question. Tell me about those vibes, buddy.
Vibes are good, man. I'm kind of going to piggyback off what Chad said. Where they are right now with what they're missing is fascinating. And also some of the shortages they've gotten in other areas, such as multiple bullpen guys, not living up to what they thought they would do, though some have definitely lived up to it, and then some, Brent Suter. But I'm really excited about where this team's at. You look at guys like Tyler Stevenson starting to get some barrels on the ball. That's a good feeling.
Nice.
Only barrels on the ball.
Yeah, only barrels on the ball. You're right. Ellie doing amazing things, whether it's homer, stolen bases, running in the middle left field, the good fly balls. It's a lot of fun, man. It's a blast, and I am enjoying every night, win or lose, but I'm excited. I'm with it. I'm feeling really good.
I think for me, and I agree completely, could not be more pumped about what we've seen so far. which is crazy because the inconsistency has been mind-blowing. I mean, the guys are not playing great baseball. Outside of a couple, got Spencer Steer hot early, Haley hot right now. Tyler Stevenson, CES, look like they're starting to pick things up. We had this random sickness going around, so we've lost Jake Fraley and Jonathan India for almost a week now because they ate some bad food. I don't know what's going on. Don't drink the Ohio River water. But the guys are on pace to win 92 games, and I don't think any rational person would have put money on that after we got the news about Friedel, Marte, and you know, other people that my
Lodolo and
Lodolo and everybody, Matt McClain. So if you are not excited about what you're seeing, then I don't know what to tell you. Get out of here. Get off my lawn.
Well, you know, three offensive players are above average in production so far this season. Just three. One's Jake Fraley, who you just mentioned, who, and that's sort of, and that includes the bench guys. I mean, it's really insane to me that the Reds have, you know, I know they're in third place and people are upset they're not in first place, I guess, which I'd rather they be in first place.
Of course.
But when you think about that, it's kind of amazing. And, you know, I wrote about the Reds pitching. I look at this pitching staff, and the more I look at it, the more I think Nick Carl pulled one on me. You know, they didn't go out and get somebody that moved the needle, but they got a couple of guys, Montas, who's injured, unfortunately, but and Martinez, who provide depth. And that's what killed them last September. If they had had any pitching depth whatsoever during the playoffs last year. So I think maybe I underrated the moves that Crawl made. I'm willing to admit when I was when I may have been wrong. But this offense we all sort of expected should be pretty good. And without Matt McClain and Noelvi Marte, they're really not great, but they're still winning baseball games. So I don't know. I'm kind of in love with the team. They're fun to watch still. And Ellie, I have to say it. I said it last week. I have to say it again. Because Tim just mentioned him going out into left field and getting a ball. I still firmly believe Ellie De La Cruz is going to be a gold glove shortstop. Absolutely. But if he's not, if he can't stick there, he's going to be the best center fielder in the history of baseball, the way that guy covers ground. So I'm sorry I hijacked us a little bit there because I'm legitimately excited about a number of things here. Even though there have been, as Nate said, there some inconsistencies, some things. You know, some of the offense is kind of ugly. Some of the production from some of the players in the starting lineup. But anyway, there you go.
Yep. The boys have been fun. The boys have been pretty good. Like you always say, if you can't be good, be exciting. And they're a little bit of both. Yep. And they're not anywhere close to full string. So there's reason to believe it only gets better from here. Quick standings update. As we are recording this, Milwaukee, the Dirty Brewers are in first place at 14-8. The Chicago Cubs coming up next at 14-9, and then just a game back from those Cubs, your beloved Cincinnati Reds, not mine, but yours, 13-10. The Pirates have fallen off precipitously. They are now 13-11, and it's not been good. They are 3-7 in their last 10. Tim's favorite news of the week, my favorite news of the week, is the St. Louis Cardinals are 11-14, dead last in the division. And the vibes are bad out of St. Louis. And I got to tell you, when the quote-unquote best fans in baseball are having a bad time, you know, I feel bad for the fans, some of them. I feel bad for 11 of the fans. But that franchise has had too many good things happen to it over my lifetime. So screw you, Cardinals. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
All right, some quick thoughts before we get into this draft. Since the last episode, the Reds swept the Los Angeles Angels. Sweeps are more fun when you are the one doing the sweeping.
Can't confirm.
We don't need to go extensively into that as it was covered very, very well, and very eloquently by a couple handsome devils over at Late Night Reds. You may have heard of it. But I do want to shout out the bullpen real quick. They've been incredible almost all season long, but in that sweep of the Angels, they went 15 innings pitched, allowed 8 hits, 0 earned runs, and had 12 strikeouts to only 5 walks. Boys, that will get it done. What has been the most pleasant surprise from the bullpen guys so far to you? Start with you, Tim.
Brent Suter. I joked about it earlier. I thought he'd be good. Don't get me wrong. I didn't think he'd be this good. Like, I mentioned it on Late Night Red Sunday. The fact that twice now he's had to go in a game in case of an emergency, pitched at least 3 innings in each of those games and didn't give up a run in either of them. Like on no No chance to warm up. Just run to the mound and get your stuff in before you get ready to get your arm loose is super impressive. Just really fun to see. Alexis Diaz looks like he's kind of finding his old ways again. Mm-hmm. So that's been nice to see. So those two have been great, man. I know there's a bunch of other guys who have done well. But those two just kind of jumped out to me the most as far as like how well they're pitching. Well, Fernando Cruz, obviously, too, but I don't want to take away from you guys getting to talk about the Cruz, man.
Every guy, Chad.
Who's your best? That's where I was going. I mean, I will say that, you know, I've hammered Emilio Pagan a little bit ever since they signed him. He's settled down a little. He's been a little better than early. But it's Fernando Cruz to me. I mean, Fernando Cruz, this guy, you know, he's like, he's 48 years old. How old is Fernando Cruz? 48? No, 34. But I'm just kind of blown away by what we've seen that. And what I'm specifically blown away by is that splitter.
Oh my God.
That splitter is just outrageously good. And I'm looking over here again. Opposing hitters are 0-for-19 against his splitter with 17 strikeouts and a 75% whiff percentage. I mean, of course, small sample size, obviously, but that is absolutely dominant. So, you know, you don't want to ever, you go broke betting on 34-year-old pitchers, like taking big leaps in performance, but I'm saying it here. Fernando Cruz is probably going to be the best reliever in baseball this year.
There you go. Yeah, I love it. And he's not your typical 34-year-old. He was a position player until he was in his mid-late 20s.
Good point.
He switched over, so he's got a younger arm.
He's Kenley Jansen. He's the Reds' Kenley Jansen.
Yeah. Except a better pitch, because there's a reason to argue that splitter is the single best pitch in all of baseball. I was having a conversation with somebody today about, you know, they're not going to do it because Alexis Diaz is doing Alexis Diaz things as a closer. But, man, what a luxury to have somebody like Fernando Cruz in there on those days where Diaz has threw a lot of pitches the day before. He's gone 2 days in a row. You've got a guy that can come shut down that may deserve at least a little consideration for that closer spot if all things were in a vacuum. A quick shout to TJ Antone. Did y'all listen to the game last night?
Great. It was awesome. Yeah, he was really good.
TJ Antone was in the booth last night, and he was fantastic. Shades of Joey Votto. He was up there season before last. But one thing I wanted to point out was he had two strikes on Trey Turner, and John Sadek asked Antone, he said, does he go to the splitter here? Antone said, it's a gift. Turner knows it's coming, and he still won't hit it. Cruz throws a splitter. Turner swings and misses, strikes him out. It is so much fun to watch that guy cook on the mound. And he's just one of many. Nick Martinez deserves a little shout-out, too. Him and Brent Suter in these long relief roles, and Martinez looks like he's going to have to go back to start for a week or two while Frankie Mantas is Frank Mantooth.
Dorothy Mantooth is a saint.
Frankie Mantooth is also a saint. Montas is going to the IL with a right forearm contusion. So we got Nick Martinez. We talked about that depth. You know, they put this together without some guys we thought might be able to contribute. Brandon Williamson, Connor Phillips in AAA, who's not looked good so far, who I'm huge on. Chase Petty down there a little bit lower. So they are getting this done with duct tape and Elmer's glue, and they're 13-10. They don't have a winning record very often, fellas. This is fantastic.
Best start to a season in David Bell's tenure as a Red. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, again, he's had some really horrible starts. Yeah, but still, let's be happy about something for once.
Yeah, and they just tied the game up. Santiago Espinal, of all people, 2-run double. Mm-hmm.
Right after Ty Steve with a ground rule double. Let's go ahead and jump right into that. CES and Tyler Stevenson are starting to heat up. CES was abysmal. It has been abysmal. His OPS plus right now, 57. Negative 0.7 wins above replacement so far for our guy Christian Encarnacion's training. But there are signs of life. Over the last week, and he had a walk today too, by the way, which is one of the most shocking things that you're going to see this year. I think it's his second walk this season. Over the last week, that OPS is up to 800. He's starting to barrel up the ball a lot more. and he's cut down on the strikeouts a little bit. He is always going to be a free swinger, but he was pressing. It looked like he was pressing, and I think he has gotten over whatever hurdle he needed, and we're about to get one of our patented CES heaters. What do you think, Chad?
I think that Will Benson just put the Reds ahead.
Yep.
So here's what I think about CES. I think, what are we worrying about? Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be a star, but he's 24 years old. He had 222 at-bats coming into this season. Yes, he's looked kind of rough at times. So that's why we always talk about small sample sizes. You know, give him a chance to see if he can cook and improve. And baseball for these kids is always a push and pull. The pitchers are going to adjust. Can the hitters adjust? And so, you know, I don't get too excited. Sometimes I get excited on the side of when someone starts well. I let my emotions take over. I get excited about that, but I try not to when they start poorly to get too excited. Let's see a little bit more from him. And you're right, he's looking better lately. I'm not worried about CES.
Not either. Nate, you mentioned his OPS plus was like what, 57?
57 going into today.
Jose Abreu's is minus 73.
Oh,
that's not good.
So, he is like 80 something better than Jose Abreu right now.
Yeah, gonna play for the Reds for most of my lifetime, but not anymore, baby. All right, the other guy that's heating up after a really slow start is Tyler Stevenson, and we have to talk about this because, you know, I think the people on this podcast right now are about as high on Tyler Stevenson as someone can get. We have been loud and proud with our, you know, expectations, what we think Tyler Stevenson can be. And the first thing I noticed, started in spring training and has carried over to the regular season, his defense is much, much improved. His pitch framing, which is an issue, which shouldn't exist in baseball because you shouldn't be tricking old people as an art form. It's gotten a lot better. Mm-hmm. But he was healthy last year for the first time in a long time, and he kind of stunk. Let's be real about it. He was not good last year, and he started off this year stinking pretty bad too. Well, since then, people kind of caught on to something, and Tim alluded to it earlier. We got to find a good nickname for him, Ty Barrels or something. But Tyler Stevenson puts the barrel of the bat on the baseball quite literally more than every player in Major League Baseball.
Yeah,
it was 99% barrel percentage. Now it was 100 yesterday. The guy's above average exit velocities, above 96 percentile hard hit percentage. I don't know what's happening, but if you believe that baseball is a game of, you know, luck and streaks, you have to think that Tyler Stevenson's about to go 1-1 because he's been swinging the bat really, really well lately. Seeing some of that power, some of that pop that makes sense with a build like his. And, oh my gosh, if we start getting guys back healthy and Tyler Stevenson starts hitting and CES starts hitting and Will Benson, who started out hot but then went on a long slump that he recently broke out of emphatically today as we're recording this with a home run, a single, and the go-ahead RBI. Sky's the limit, boy. Ceiling is the roof.
Ceiling is the roof. He was on Tyler was on Jim Day's pod today, and they were talking about a few of the things you brought up. Obviously, they talked about the fact that he's hitting the ball harder than anybody in baseball right now. They talked about his grand slam on Saturday going opposite field. And one of the things they mentioned was his pitch framing. He talked about, and he was pretty honest about it too. He's like, yeah, I wasn't good at it. One of the things he mentioned was that when you're tall, like I am, trying to catch something at the bottom of the bottom of the strike zone is a little bit more difficult. He's like, so I haven't caught on one knee since high school. And so he's kind of like saying that's been the adjustment that he's been making this year. And he mentioned having guys like Luke Maley to be around him has been really helpful as well. So dude, I think that with him, Ben and I've talked about this a lot, on Late Night Reds. I think last year was just kind of getting back in his groove, man. It's like had the collarbone injury, then the concussion. Only played 30 games in 2022. So I think this year, kind of, you know, having his legs back underneath him, having a full spring training where it's not battling an injury, you're really starting to see that pay off. I was never worried about him. I So I think that we're going to start to see him really have a nice takeoff and, you know, had a nice ground rule double this exact inning we're recording. So
I'm not going to lie. I started to get a little bit worried. How about you, Chad?
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's where I was going to go is that, you know, one of the things about recording the show, the first episode of this show was in 2007, so that's 17 years. So my opinions, you can go find them if you want. And for a long time, I was really, really crazy high on Tyler Stevenson, first round draft pick, et cetera, et cetera. But I will admit, again, I always try to be honest here. I'll admit I've been wavering on him, and I'm still wavering on him. We're talking 66 plate appearances, or you know, 70 after tonight. And his production is still, when you look at the actual production, below league average. But there are reasons to believe that's gonna change. I 100% agree with that. And I'm really excited with what I'm seeing from him. I'm really excited to see how often he's squaring the ball up. And I don't know. The optimistic side of me is like, I knew this guy was good. He's been good his whole life. You know, the injuries that Tim just talked about, maybe that's the reason. Maybe that's it. Maybe and hey, but at 27, players don't usually take huge leaps forward. But would anybody be surprised if at age 27, Tyler Stevenson became the Tyler Stevenson that we all expected? He's healthy. The defense is the key, because if his defense is legitimately better, if we see that over the course of the season, that completely changes how we look at him, because he can even be an average hitter and be an all-star. If he's good defensively or average defensively. So I'm really, I don't know where I am on Tyler Stevenson. I'm not back. I'm not completely back, but I'm intrigued and I'm looking forward to seeing what we get the rest of the year.
I think August he's going to blow up because I hope so. He's supposed to have a baby coming in August.
Ooh,
so
some of that dad strength,
that dad power. Yeah, that's coming.
Well, one thing we know is true is that right now things are trending in the right direction. And with that glorious beard of his, he can still date my future daughter. All right, gentlemen. We got to talk about the reason we're all glued to the TVs every night. Ellie De La Stinkin' Cruz. Oh, my holy Jesus. What's even happening here with this guy?
Just had a right-handed ground rule double.
Right-handed ground rule double. I want to talk about that here in a minute. Right now, Fangraphs has him at a 180. Weighted runs created plus, just absurd. So he's got a 186 OPS plus on Baseball Reference. The slash line going into tonight, which is now better because he's got two hits on the night. 295 batting average, a 402 on base percentage, which I don't think any of us expected. A 641 slugging percentage. Good for him.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
1.043 OPS, and that's with 7 home runs and at least 12 stolen bases, because Baseball Reference doesn't update.
14 now, yeah.
Time. 14. Only two more. Only two more today. Shohei Ohtani aside, and maybe we need to let Ellie pitch just to see if he can do it.
No.
Is Nelly David Cruz the best player in baseball right now?
Yeah.
You just gave us a bunch of numbers there. Can I give you two more numbers?
Please.
Two and two. Ella De La Cruz is 22 years old.
Yeah. Let's go. I have never seen. I was still pretty young when Eric Davis was out there. I have never seen a baseball player do what he's doing. Just last night, he hits a home run that goes to Jupiter and lands in the seats. He has turns a double play, the front leg of a double play on an extremely difficult play, coming in towards home plate, turning around to make that throw to second base. He runs 112 feet into left field to catch a ball sliding over his shoulder. The guy is a freak of nature, and he plays for our Cincinnati Reds, and he will for the foreseeable future. And I think I speak for every person that has ever worn a Reds logo. Back up the Brinks truck. Yeah. Ask him what he wants.
Do it now.
We'll give it to you. That way, I mean, we'll know for sure. So do you want $1 billion? Because we'll crowdfund it. We'll crowdsource that. We can make that happen. If we can get a couple thousand for a billboard, we can get some money for Ellie. Bob and Phil need some help. We'll make it happen. Every night is something else. The way he adjusted in the middle of the season, early in the season, but he was striking out almost half of the time. And now he's got almost a league average strikeout rate, counting those bad numbers. Since then, it's been well above league average. He's hitting for power. He's getting, making progress from both sides of the plate. He's the one gap right now for me is it seems like he's taking a little longer to make those adjustments from the left side on the right side. But in the last two games, you're starting to see signs that they're coming from the right side too. And if that happens, there is no ceiling with him.
Yeah.
Chad?
Well, there's going to be a time here sometime in the next month or two where he's going to have 2 weeks where he looks awful. That's just going to happen. Okay. I'm sorry. You're going to have to deal with it. I call it the Ellie De La Cruz experience. It's going to be a roller coaster a little bit, but on that roller coaster, those heights are going to keep getting higher and higher and higher. I've seen enough to believe that injury is the only thing that stops this guy from becoming the best player in baseball or, top three player in baseball. I mean, he's going to be inner circle. I do remember. I'm the only one of us that does remember Eric Davis. And Eric Davis in 1987. I legitimately assumed I would go to my grave saying Eric Davis 1987. And I was a kid, was I 12, 13, but that was the best player I'd ever seen in my life. The most talented player I'd ever seen in my life. I mean, Willie Mays that year literally said, "It's an honor for me to be compared to Eric Davis." Think about that.
It's crazy.
And because Eric Davis is this special combination of athleticism, power, there's just nothing he couldn't do. I can't believe we have a player who is legitimately on the 2024 Cincinnati Reds, legitimately better in pretty much every area than Eric. The defense is still to come, but there's no question in my mind it's coming. But is better than Eric Davis was in 1987. And it's just, I don't know. For many years on this show, we would sort of push back at all the Joey Votto detractors by saying, you're crazy. You are a Reds fan. You have an opportunity to watch one of the best players in Reds history play every single day. Enjoy it. That's what I'm saying about this guy. And it actually makes me excited for the first time in a long time. I'm excited to be a Reds fan for the next however many years that we have Ellie De La Cruz, because he's just, he's special. He's absolutely special, and he's must see TV. Sorry, I went off on a little bit of a rant there.
Dude, no.
This is
so
a worthy rant.
I laugh at the fact that once Nate said his name, all three of us just started smiling, right? Like it's just that feeling of like excitement. I think the most telling thing for me in his progress and his growth, and I talked about this again on, not to reiterate my show from this past week, but so Saturday is his 4-walk game. And there is a point where the bases are loaded. And I can't remember who's pitching for the Angels at the time, but they did not give him a chance. They were like, look, if we walk in a run, we walk in a run. Like, we're not letting him put 4 on the board. He has hit that point. Like we tried to say, like, I don't think we're necessarily at the point where we're saying it's Barry Bonds treatment, but it's the closest I've seen to it in my lifetime.
Can I add something quickly to that though?
Go for it.
The fact is, yes, they gave him that Barry Bonds treatment, but he didn't take the bait. He was intelligent enough to let, if you're going to give me a walk, I'm not going to go outside the zone. I'm not going to try to do more than I can. He's 22 years old. That's real growth.
Yeah. National League shortstop will be really fun come All-Star break to see who wins the starting position between him, Mookie, Trey Turner. It's going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I expect that if he keeps this up anywhere or anywhere close to this, we're going to see him at the All-Star game and probably in the Home Run Derby.
Please.
All right. I had on here to get into the great Hunter Green Twitter debate of 2024, but I'm going to just skip over that.
Thank you.
I don't feel like doing it. I'm not here for it. Let the kid be a kid. He's been fine. He's not been a superstar, but be patient. It's early. Shouts to Nicodolo. It's okay today, but has looked quite sharp, especially in his first two outings. So welcome back, Nick. And that's kind of it. Before we get to some quick news of the week, we mentioned Frankie Montas going to the IL. We did get some encouraging TJ Friedl news. He is now taking batting practice, bullpen sessions, which would be weird. And they're hinting that he is likely to be back sometime next month. So could not be more excited to have TJ. Talking about Santiago Espinal's been hitting the ball a little bit better now. But with TJ back, we don't have to relive the Bubba Thompson experience anymore. And I think we'll all be thankful for that. And then the biggest news of the week, Ian Jabeau might get to see that sexy piece of man in a Reds uniform once again here soon. He is rehabbing in Louisville. There's a little scare there for a couple of days. It seemed like he might have had a setback, but apparently that's not the case. Tim, how excited are you to see Ian Jabeau once again?
Well, you know, I'm Ian Jabeau's number one fan. I'm pretty honest about that for a really long time. Sure. I mean, if it means less Buck Farmer, awesome. That's where I'm at in the Ian Jabeau category.
Poor Buck. Yeah. It's just, we talked about this a lot in the offseason with the moves that were made, and it's holding true that some of these signings just raise the floor. They don't necessarily move the needle in a major way, but they make it better by sort of, we don't have to trot out some of those, you know, also rans and never were. And Ian Jabeau is kind of one of those guys. He will make the team a little bit better. Sam Moll coming back yesterday makes the team a little bit better. The Reds did sign somebody named Peyton Burdick, which I might need to mute that, bleep it out, if I can say that in this show. I don't know anything about this guy other than that he was claimed off waivers from the Orioles. Do y'all have any knowledge about young Mr. Burdick?
According to Lance McAllister, he grew up a Reds fan.
Ooh,
so did I.
Right. I mean, same.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Fernando Cruz just struck somebody out on his splitter, by the way. After Chad Green jinxed Emilio Pagan.
Sorry.
Welcome to Louisville, Peyton. I hope you're awesome. Last little thing before we get into the topic of the week. Shout out to our old friend, Johnny Cueto, who signed with the World Series champion Texas Rangers on a minor league deal just in time for me to move to Dallas and hopefully get to watch him play.
Yes.
Can Chad and I have a moment to celebrate Nixon Zell hitting a home run for the Nationals this past weekend?
Thank you, Tim. Nixon Zell Hive still lives.
Still lives.
Still rooting for that guy 100%.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, we are going to dive into what everyone came here for, and that is the all-time your favorite player Reds draft. Super relatable to everyone listening to this because you're going to agree perfectly with one of us, but not all of us.
It's true.
All right, so how this is going to work, there are very few rules. The player had to play for the Reds at some point, and we have some categories. We have 9 categories, and we're going to try our best to field a reasonable lineup. The categories are a player from your birth year, a player from a playoff team, a player from 2024, one who never made an all-star game. Cincinnati loves their, you know, those hustle fan favorites. A player from the Great Eight of the Big Red Machine. One player from 1990, the only team to win a World Series in all of our lifetimes. One player who was born in Cincinnati. A Gold Glove winner. And one wild card that can be used for whoever you want. You can draft these in any order. it doesn't matter. But you have to try your best to make out a roster. And go ahead, Jack.
I just want to clarify, these are not necessarily the best players you can pick.
Right.
It's our favorite players, guys we favorites. Like. I want to make sure we get that through.
That is very, very important. We are going for the all-likable team. All right, so I've got our names pulled up in a random organizer here, and let's see who gets to go first.
Nate gets first. What a shock.
Nate does go. I'm doing it again. I'm doing it again.
No, don't.
I get to go first again, both times.
Shocking. No way. Notice Chad and I can't see the screen.
It's weird how that works out every
time.
How
do I do it? How do I share the screen? I will share the screen with you.
You're fine.
Nah, we believe. We trust you. Go ahead.
You're bad at this anyway, so we're okay.
This for what's worth. Every draft we've done that involved one of these, I swear I have been picked to go first, and I've changed it because I don't want to hear your old guff. All right, so I'm going first. Tim, you are second. Chad, you are third with a wraparound pick.
Ooh.
So let's kick this off.
Okay, just quickly, let's go over those categories one more time so everyone understands the categories, if you don't mind, Nate. I'll do it. But all right, so one player from your birth year. For me, that's 1952. It's going to be difficult. One player there you go. One player from a playoff team. Any Reds playoff team. I presume we're talking just Reds playoff teams. One player from 2024. We're going to be fighting over that one. A player who never made an All-Star game. A player from the Great Eight. That's the Big Red Machine lineup. One player from 1990. The last Reds championship team. One player from Cincinnati. One Gold Glove winner as a Red and one wild card. I just felt like we needed to go over those one more time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Let's do it, Nate. You're up.
Well, with the first pick, I think a lot of people would probably save this for later in the draft due to the vast number of options. But I'm going to go wild card first. Because I am not sure where this guy would fit in otherwise. And with the first pick, I have to do it. I have to get my guy, the big donkey himself, Adam Dunn.
Nice.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He's going to play first base.
That's a good call. Oh, playing first base for you.
I think so, yeah. We can change that later if we need to.
Yeah,
he's at first base for now, and this needs no explanation. If you've watched this show or listened to this show for any amount of time, you know how much we love Adam Dunn. We shout him out at the end of every episode. We'll shout him out later. Adam Dunn, if you're listening to this, I'm moving to Texas. Let's drink beers and hang out. I'd love to.
Adam Dunn is the patron saint of the riverfront. I think it's clear.
Absolutely. And
true words,
a worthy number one. All right, Tim.
All right, well, I have to go with my favorite player of all time. So I'm going from the player from Cincinnati, Ken Griffey Jr.
Junior.
Good call on the from Cincinnati connection there, too.
Yeah, you said born in Cincinnati, but when he was drafted, the card said Moeller High School, Cincinnati, Ohio. So
we'll count. We take liberties here.
All right, so it's up to me now, I guess, right?
You got two in a row.
Two in a row, the wraparound pick. So the first one I'm going to go for, a Red from a playoff team. And so I kind of feel like I have to do this. Actually, wait a minute. Let me see if I can get him in a different category as I'm looking here. I can't. This is the only category I can get him in. So Red from a playoff team, I'm going to go with Joey Votto. I just want Joey.
I like it for you.
I wanted to. Couldn't pass up Junior.
No, I get it. I get it. It makes sense. So I'm going to say he's my first baseman, Joey Votto. So the next one I'm going to go is I'm going to take a player from 2024.
Oh, no.
Sorry, gang. Dog. This is my shortstop.
You dog.
De La Cruz. I got to do it. I hate that he's not a first rounder in this, but, you know, first pick of the second round, I think he'll be okay. That's my shortstop, Ellie De La Cruz.
Well done. Well done. That was probably the shallowest field, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, but there's some interesting guys here, you know, going forward on the 2024 team. So, anyway, back to you, Tim.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with my player from the Great Eight, I'm going to go my favorite Red I never saw play, Joe Morgan.
Ooh, I like that.
Can I tell you all something?
Please.
Here's the thing about we have the grade eight, and then we're able to pick a category from your birth year. My birth year was during the grade eight span, so I'm going to get two of those guys. I just want to say there's a benefit to being old at some point. I didn't get to see any of them play, but I was born during the grade eight era.
Yeah, hard to pick against a guy who won two MVPs for your favorite team, right?
He's okay.
Yeah.
He's okay.
All right. So I've got two picks now, correct?
Mm-hmm. You do. Let's wrap it up to the third round.
I'm going to go with my birth year. And I'm going to take, this is 1985 for those listening, I'm going to take Wayne Cringe. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take a man we have talked about a little bit today, Eric Davis.
Oh.
Ooh.
I'll take a little Eric Davis at an outfield spot. Didn't get to watch him a ton, but I spent a lot of time on those highlights. And I had an older brother that had an Eric the Red poster in his room. So I was very familiar and loved getting to watch him more as I got a little bit older. So Eric Davis for my birth year. And then let's see, maybe I will go with that 2010 squad. Let's take a little look down memory lane. And you know what? We've talked about him also as well. I'll take a Johnny Cueto. Johnny Cueto as my pitcher. Probably my favorite pitcher of my lifetime for the Reds so far. There's a couple other close contenders, but what this guy did for this team, how much fun when he burst onto the scene. Feeling pretty good about that pick.
It's a good one.
It's a good pick. It's a good pick.
All right. So I am going to go with a guy from a Reds playoff team. And I'm going to go with the 1961 National League MVP, Frank Robinson.
Oh, Robbie.
Ooh.
That's a good call. That's a good call.
Just so happened to have to run the mantle of Maris in the World Series, guys. Just so happened to have to do that.
What category was that?
That was a playoff team.
I like it.
All right. So it's up to me with two picks, right? Mm-hmm. And first of all, how do you go wrong with Frank Robinson?
Yeah.
All-time legend.
All-time legend. For two franchises. Maybe more.
Exactly. So I'm going to go with a pick from the 1990 team now. And you know what? I just changed my mind. I'm going to go for a pick. Well, yeah, I'm going to go for a 1990. I'm going for 1990. It's going to be Jose Rijo. Jose Rijo, obviously the star of the 1990, the MVP of the World Series. As a pitcher, I know Cueto's off the board, but Rijo is maybe the best starting pitcher of my lifetime. I mean, you know, maybe it's Jimmy Haynes. Maybe it's Eric Milton, but probably Jose Rios. That's where I'm going to go. And then I have to do this because, again, we're talking about favorite players. Oh, man, actually, I already picked a player for my playoff team. All right, I've screwed up. I've already screwed up my – one of my favorite players of all time. I can't take him now. All right, so I'm going to take a player from the grade eight. I'll go with third base. And I'll take, do I want to do this? Let me think. At third base, I'm going to take Johnny Bench. What?
Third base.
Technically, yes. Hey, that's correct.
The first time I ever went to a game, you heard the story. Johnny Bench was a third baseman in his final season. I'm taking Johnny Bench at third base from my birth year.
This is questionable. If you were not the founding father of this podcast, I might have a little more pushback.
If you were
drafted him, he was not a third baseman, but you know what? I like it. We're making a lineup here.
You could have actually used him to be like an outfielder. Yeah. He started in center field in 77.
He started in center field. It's crazy. Yeah. So that's where I'm going. So I screwed up. I missed. We'll talk later if somebody else takes the guy, but I missed the third baseman I wanted to get because he was on the 1990s. Team was the only time I would have been able to get him. So I screwed that one up because I took Rio, but I'm going to stick with Rio.
Some serious strategery right there. All right, Tim, back to you.
All right, so I was born in the beautiful year of 1989. I was an 80s baby for all of 5 months. And the starting shortstop of the 1989 Cincinnati Reds was Barry Larkin.
Maybe my favorite Red of all time. I'm disappointed I don't get him in this.
Also a Taylor Swift album.
Also a Taylor Swift album. This is true.
Wait, what?
1989. True.
Nate, please pick so we can move on.
You get two picks to move on from that.
I need to look at my categories here. So I've got wild card. I need a gold glove winner. I need someone from Cincinnati, and that's going to be harder for me. Back to 80. Player who never made an all-star game. You know, I think I'm going to take Ryan Freeland.
Oh, good call.
As a player who never made an all-star game. One of the most, you know, fun guys to watch. Impossible not to root for. Things didn't end as well as anyone would hope for, but we can keep the good vibes, good memories alive here on this podcast today. So Ryan Freel as no all-star game. And I might go with the 2024 Reds. Let me pull a little something up here. Should I just get my outfield out of the way? No, I'm not going to do it. Tyler Stevenson. I love Ty Steve. Spent a whole part of this podcast talking about how much we like Tyler Stevenson. I literally want him to date my daughter, who isn't even born yet, even though he's married, has a kid on the way. I'm sorry, Tyler. Sorry, Tyler's wife. But I am pumped to have Tyler Stevenson on my squad, and this is going to age even better after the season wraps up and he wins a gold glove and silver slugger.
There you go.
I like it. All right, well, I need to get my gold glover out of the way, and I'm not in love with this pick, but I'm running out of categories already. So I went gold glove, I went third base, just last summer inducted into Cooperstown, Scott Rolen.
I like that pick. I considered it myself.
Yeah. Don't love it.
Was it for those years for the Cardinals? I think we would have an even rosier memory of Scott Rolen, but those were the last really good Reds teams. He was part of that. I like that pick.
Yeah. We need to just forget about the error in 2012 game three, and we're fine.
We're going to forget it. Roland's a good one. And in terms of, we're talking favorite players, likable guy. And yeah. There's one thing about Scott Rolen to dislike, and that's the Cardinals association. But other than that, great guy. So can I ask the judges for a ruling here?
Of course.
Of course.
If I have selected someone in one category, but they qualify in a different category, can I change that category?
I'll allow it.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
All right. So I took Joey Votto earlier on the playoff team. I want to change that to gold glove. I want to take Joey Votto in the gold glove category. So that I can then maybe utilize the playoff team a little bit better. And for playoff team, we're talking about my favorite all-time Reds game. We're not talking about the best. Oh, this is a guy that should be in the Reds Hall of Fame, but I had to get this guy. I've been sitting there strategizing, trying to figure out how do I get this guy after I screwed that up. So on playoff team, I'm going to take Reggie Sanders.
Yeah.
Reggie Sanders, an absolute snub in the Reds Hall of Fame. I got to get him. So
I like it. And I'm glad that he went to you also. You deserve Reggie Sanders.
Yeah, you deserve
Thank
him.
You. Thank you. I appreciate that. No, I really do deserve it. So next one. Boy, this is a tough one. This is really tough. So what categories do I still have? I still have, let's see. Player who never made an all-star game. I still have a player from the grade eight. I still have, a player from Cincinnati. And I do have a wild card. I guess I'm going to go for a player from my from the. See, this is not this scintillating audio. If you're listening on audio,
someone's in their car screaming right now. Pick somebody.
You know what? Whatever. This is not a good strategic play, but I'm going to go with player who never made an All-Star team, but he's one of my favorite players, and I was going to take him later. And this is why I took Johnny Bench at third base, because I wanted to get Eddie Taubensy. I love me some Eddie Taubensy back in the day. He never made an All-Star game, but that guy was an underrated hitter.
Yeah.
That's my catcher, Eddie Taubensy.
I like it.
Yeah. Love that pick. I thought
great guest
about
on Red Leg Roundtable.
Fantastic. Exactly. Guest on there. It's awesome. I thought long and hard about how to include him or a different catcher before going the Tyler Stevenson route. But yeah, a couple great picks for you there, Chad. Good value.
Yeah. I like it.
All right, Tim.
All right. So I have had a literally run of people in Cooperstown, which means for my last outfielder, I got to go the polar opposite. 2010 team, I got to go my buddy who's been on my show multiple times. I got to go Drew Stubbs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great pick.
Very good to the network. Very good dude. Happy the Reds honored him this past weekend, even though his first pitch was not great, but it was awesome to see him honored.
Yeah, very good pick. Can't believe Annie Sabo asked him, called him out for a bad, bad pitch. That was tough.
Michigan Annie. Wins one national championship, and their alumni think they just run the world now.
All right, so I got two picks here. For me, I'm going to go with a Gold Glover. And while things may have ended a little less than harmoniously, this guy was arguably the most exciting player I got to watch, and that is Brandon Phillips at second base. That dude, BP, was electric. What he could do with that glove was like nobody had ever seen. He brought a flair and a style and excitement to the position that, you know, it's sort of like the team identified with it. Remember the All-Star game when, like, I don't remember who got the hit or whatever, but they pan over to BP Rowland. They're like, first to third, that's how we do it in Cincinnati. Like, those are some pretty incredible memories. So, love that for Brandon Phillips. Welcome to the team. Now, I have to go to – I still need a player from 1990, correct?
Same here, yeah.
Yes. So, I am going to go with, at third base, my favorite player ever, Chris Sabo.
I screwed up. That's the guy I wanted.
It's got to be done. He deserves to be on my team. Like I said, my first favorite player ever. I once drew Chad a picture of a stick figure with goggles and a bunch of squiggly lines that were supposed to be him swinging really hard.
I have that here.
I never became an artist.
Aww, this is awesome.
I must have been, I guess, 5 years old. So couldn't be happier to have Mr. Sabo.
You know what? Let me just say this real quickly. I picked Riho off that team, and I loved Riho. One of my favorite players ever. But I think there are probably two players on that 1990 team that were more of my favorites than even Riho. And I don't know why I rejected those. Sabo was one, and I don't know who Tim's going to pick when he gets to 1990, but the position for my next guy, my other guy that I loved, Tim still has available, so I'm going to get out of the way. I'm going to be upset if he takes that guy.
I think I might be, because I am going to 1990 here. I picked Tom Browning.
Oh, TB, my man, TB. That's the guy. Love that guy.
Yeah.
Doggone.
God rest his soul.
Dare you. I mean, pitcher was tough. There was one other arm in contention for me. I guess we all have pitchers now, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
My 2024 is not looking good, but
Riho was probably my number two, but I almost went with Bronson Arroyo as my pitcher.
I thought about it too.
Let's talk about favorite. Certainly not the best, but man, love watching that guy. All right, so Chad, two picks.
Oh, man. What am I going to do here? So the categories that I have remaining are someone from Cincinnati, someone from the Great Eight, and then the wild card. And I have two outfielders and a second baseman left. Now, I got to look. What have you all done? Okay, I think I'm okay there. So I'm going to go. I've been kind of limited because I have grade eight left, but I can't take Joe Morgan at second base because he's off the board. So I have to go with an outfielder. So who do I go with as an outfielder from the grade eight? You know who I'm going to go with? This surprises me. I thought about Cesar Geronimo. I thought about Ken Griffey Sr. But you know who I'm going to go with? Because he had the best mutton chop sideburns. I didn't expect to pick this guy, but I'm taking him. George Foster. Nice. George Foster from the grade eight. The best mutton chop sideburns ever. So now I have wild card and Cincinnati. Well, you all already have your Cincinnati guys. I'm going to go ahead and take him. I'm going to leave my wild card for my last pick. So I'm going to go with at second base. I can't believe I'm doing this. A little embarrassed, but let's go with Ron Oster. Reds Hall of Famer.
Oster.
Hall of Famer.
You know, I did like Ron Oster, but my favorite thing about Ron Oster is when I was a kid, I was collecting baseball cards, and there was a card, I don't remember what in the 80s, which year it was, and there was a, he was the, they had these team leaders, and it had Mario Soto, team leader in ERA.
Oh, yeah. You
know, 2.79. And then it had Ron Oster, leader in batting average, 269. That's how old the Reds were when I was growing up. So anyway, I'm going with Ron Oster. I guess I can't think of any other second baseman that is from Cincinnati. So let's move on.
All right. Well, my wild card is going to go to my first base spot. I'm going to go Big Clue.
Big Clue. Big Clue. Wow. Going back a few years.
I just recently watched Rain Man, and there's that scene really, when, yeah.
You really enjoyed watching Big Clue play live too, I'm sure.
Yeah, I did. You know, went to Crosley Field every weekend just to catch a game.
I love it. Well, you can't.
True.
You can't argue with that pick. All right, so I'm going to finish out my draft here. I still have one player from Cincinnati and one player from the great eight. And I need a shortstop and an outfield. So I think this is going to kind of work out perfectly for me. So
you're going to get another guy that I loved growing up. The only grade eight guy that I really got to watch play. I fear it's my guess. Maybe I'm wrong.
From Cincinnati in the outfield, I have to take a little bit of a liberty here because I have to have an outfielder and I just can't think of any other players. So while I didn't get to watch this guy live, I've seen the DVDs. I've done all the reading. I'm currently reading a book that he's in. I want to go with Ken Griffey Sr. in my outfield.
Whoa.
I don't know for sure that he's from Cincy, but I just looked up on Wikipedia, Reds players from Cincinnati, and his name showed up. So,
well, I'm not sure that's entirely accurate, but we're going to allow it at this point because
Wikipedia. In. It's on Wikipedia. All right, so we can come back to it later if we need to.
We might
recommend some other outfielders. To round it out for a shortstop, the grade eight, Davey Concepcion.
I love Davey Concepcion. He was the one, you know, grade eight guy, one big red machine guy I got to watch play. Just underrated in Reds history.
And baseball history.
Agreed.
Yeah, should be in Cooperstown.
All right, Tim, you're up.
So can I just read my roster real quick? Because this last pick is hilarious. How he's just like, one of these is not like the other. All right, so Big Clue, Joe Morgan, Scott Rowland, Barry Larkin, Junior, Frank Robinson, Tom Browning, Drew Stubbs. And I was down to catcher, and it was between no All-Star game and the 2024 Reds. And Nate already took Tyler Stevenson. So I had to go between Luke Maley.
He's out there. Luke Maley's still out
and
there.
And Ryan Hannigan.
Oh.
And I went Ryan Hannigan just by a smidge.
Nothing wrong with that.
You know, Dan Bilardello was right there for the taking.
Hal King was hanging out.
Right. You took Ryan Hannigan? No, that's good. Favorite Reds, though? That guy, I love that guy. Ryan Hannigan.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the Ryan Hannigan.
When he played for the Red Sox at the end of his career, it kind of was like, yeah, that fits.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. All right, so it's on me. The only category I have left is wild card. I wisely saved it for last. Nothing about my draft here could be declared wise, but anyway, I have an outfielder left. I'm going to take a guy that's, I've always said, is the most impressive Reds hitter I've ever seen. I mean, literally, for the time he was here, he's the best Reds hitter I've ever seen. For that short period of time, he was in Cincinnati. And it's Kevin Mitchell. And if you didn't see Kevin Mitchell play, when we talk about favorite players, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
That guy, he just mashed. I mean, that Kevin Mitchell, the Davey Johnson was the manager. Reggie Sanders was on the team. I just, the 90s, that early slash mid 90s Reds, love them. And so I'm gonna finish my draft with Kevin Mitchell.
No argument here. Love Big K.
So we're gonna go ahead.
Can I switch out my King Griffey senior pick for another one that only kind of counts? We got to squint a little bit.
Sure, it's your show.
Didn't play outfield primarily. Never played baseball in a Reds uniform, but has been on a Reds diamond quite a bit in a Reds uniform. David Bell, baby.
All right, you got it.
Put him on my team. The only way I come to actually liking David Bell is to have him on my favorites team. So we've come a long way, David.
I guess.
Well, I'm glad you did that, since I think King Griffey Sr. is from Denora, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. So. He is. But
along with Stan Musial, yeah, and King Griffey.
I think King Griffey Sr. lived the majority of his life and may still in Ohio.
It's true, and I think King Griffey Jr. might have been was. King,
he was born in Pennsylvania, but like I said, when he was drafted, the card said Mulder High School, Cincinnati, Ohio.
It's true.
You trust your baseball cards. I'll trust Wikipedia. Whatever.
I guess. So I didn't have a 2024. I realized if we had a DH, I guess I totally would have put Spencer Steer there because it was all that was left. Just about.
Wait, hold on a second, Tim. You didn't pick a player from 2024.
Yeah.
How did you?
You have to.
So yeah, I had no All-Star game. I had wild card, grade A, gold glove, my birth year, from Cincinnati, from a playoff team, from 2010 and from 1990. So I did not have a 2024.
Well, no, you doubled it. 2010 is a playoff team.
We consider 2010 as a category, but we went away from it.
Oh, so you're right. That's on me. All right. So can I substitute Drew Stubbs for Spencer Steer? Because he technically plays left field now.
Well, the truth of the matter is, we love Drew Stubbs here at the Riverfront.
We do.
But you probably upgraded.
So, I mean, Drew Stubbs great. That makes the draft fair.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's do this again. Yes, you can do that.
All right.
Nate, again, we're running long here, but do you think we should all just sort of run down our own individual lineups before we get out?
Yeah. Let's recap this real quick. I'll start off. Tyler Stevenson at catcher. I've got Adam Dunn at wild card. I got Brandon Phillips at second base, Chris Sabo at third base, Davey Concepcion at shortstop. My outfielders, Eric Davis, Ryan Friel, David Bell, and then pitching, Johnny Cueto.
I love it. I love it.
All right. So at catcher, I went Ryan Hannigan, of course. What other catcher for Cincinnati Reds history would we have there? First base with my wild card, I went Big Clue. Second base for my member of the grade eight, I went Joe Morgan. Third base for Gold Glover, I went Scott Rowland, 2010 Reds. My birth year team of 1989, I went Barry Larkin. From Cincinnati, as we talked about multiple times, I went Ken Griffey Jr. From a playoff team, I went 1961 National League MVP and member of the 1961 National League champs, Frank Robinson. And 2024, I went Spencer Steer, and my pitcher from 1990, Tom Browning.
Those were pretty good squads, fellas.
You picked Spencer Steer, but Will Benson was right there.
That's true.
Will Benson was right there. That's my favorite player for the 2024
playoff team. I could have used Nick Senzel. He was on the 2020 playoff team.
How did we leave him out? Why are we still talking about Nick Senzel in the year of our Lord 2024?
We wish him the best.
We do wish him the best.
I will say, shouts to Joe Oliver. I thought there was a chance that he got drafted, but just missed the cut.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny to look at our catchers. because you know, there isn't the best catcher in baseball history.
But use him as an outfielder.
We have Tyler Stevenson, Ryan Hannigan, and Eddie Taubensy. I love it. This show is completely insane.
For being honest, outside of Johnny Bench.
Yeah. Well, you know, not one of anybody's favorite players, since we're talking about favorite players, but we do have another Hall of Fame catcher.
True. From
the Reds, which is Ernie Lombardi.
Mm-hmm. Bento Santiago.
Bento Santiago, as you called him when you were 4 years old.
Two other names that we can shout out. One, catcher Tucker Barnhart, absolutely could have been on an all favorites team.
Gold
Glove. I mean,
we Gold really Glove, no All Star game, I would imagine. Yeah, we put this together pretty quickly before we hopped on.
We completely screwed this up. Yeah. Tell us how
we drafted on vibes.
Speak for yourselves, guys. My whole team went to Cooperstown except for three guys.
Well, that's all right. When everyone votes on the Twitters, they're going to send it to at Riverfront Cincy and let everybody know that I had the best team. I had Eddie Taubensy at catcher. No All-Star game.
Yeah. By all means, we will post this online. Let us know.
Chance the reading is off. You cut him off.
Oh, I thought he was just being proud and wrapping this thing
he's
up.
Like,
on his own.
He's like, Chad, I'm really happy for you, and I'm going to let you finish. But
worst host ever.
Golly, Nate.
I got you, Chad.
You've been cooking as the host, Nate. You know, you came out of the bullpen. You've been cooking, but you're letting me down here.
Every now and again, you have a Lucas Sims kind of day.
Here's my team so that Nate can end this thing. Catcher, Eddie Taubensy, no All-Star game. First base, Joey Votto, Gold Glove. Second base, Ron Oster, Reds legend, Reds Hall of Famer from Cincinnati. Third base, tweaked the rules a little bit, but Johnny Bench, the player from my birth year, Johnny Bench. But given my history of trying to watch Johnny Bench play, you guys let me do it. I appreciate it. Shortstop, Elly De La Cruz from 2024. Outfield, George Foster. MVP, dude. George Foster. Kevin Mitchell, best Reds hitter I've ever seen. Reggie Sanders. Most underrated player in Reds history. That's a solid outfield. Pitcher, Jose Rijo. I just have to say, the best pitcher anyone took here. So vote for me on the socials when you see this. All right, back to you, Nate.
We will blast it out there. Let us know what we got right, what we got wrong, which y'all tend to do more often than not.
Right.
Don't just tell us who you would have picked. Let us know why. Let us know what category. Let us know your strategy. Let us know why we're wrong for not picking Gino Suarez. How did the mayor not make it? How did Sean Casey not make it on a favorite red?
Oh, man.
It's true.
The top.
How did D'Angelo Jimenez not get picked? My favorite red of all time.
They weren't on playoff teams, guys.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's true. All right. Let's wrap this thing up, gentlemen. Thank you all for coming on. Any parting words of wisdom for the people?
No parting words, just thanks for listening. And this was particularly fun for me. I'm glad to hang out with you guys and talk about dumb things. Thank you for allowing me to do that.
I love it. That's the heart and soul of this podcast. Tim, I know we can all go check you out live every Sunday night at 9 o'clock over Late Night Reds with Ben Brown. Mm-hmm. Anything to say to the folks?
Yeah, keep hanging out with us on Sunday nights. The chat's been fun this year.
Rocking.
Everyone's hanging out. Everyone's like really feeling the good vibes. It's been a blast. So we really appreciate that. And then check out Red Leg Roundtable with Seth Shander. He's bringing in really, really fun guests every other week or so. Go back now and you can listen to the archives with guys like Kent Merker, Pokey Reese, Eddie Taubensy, all on this exact feed. You're listening to this podcast. So
yeah, Scott Williams' interview was fantastic.
Oh, it's the best. Adam Rosales was fun.
Yeah, they were so good. Seth's doing great work over there. We are actually going to have one together in a week or so with a guy named Keith O'Brien, who wrote a new book that I am just finished with now called Charlie Hustle, The Rise and Fall of Pete Rose and the Last Glory Days of Baseball. So looking forward to sitting down talking with him about that book. And yeah, that's going to just about do it. Check it out tomorrow, by the way, live after the NFL draft. Joe Farsing and Parker Fields are going to be talking all things draft. This is going to come out after the draft happened, so this is useless information for you. But welcome to the jungle. Great show. If he would be available, you can hear what they talked about live at the time. We are a professional organization. Thank you everyone for listening and supporting the Riverfront. Tell your friends, tell them to tell their friends and their cousins and then their cousins' friends. Please remember to subscribe, like, and follow all those good places. We are at all the places, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Riverfront Cincy. We're on YouTube. We're having a good time. And most importantly, shout out to our supporters at patreon.com/riverfrontcincy. This show would not be possible without the support of our Patreon family. So we'd love for y'all to join in on the hijinks. Just go to that link. That'll be in the show notes and come hang out with us. Shout outs to Adam Dunn, number one draft pick Adam Dunn. Shouts to Lee Salverto, Wayne Krenchicki, and Eli Cash for Chad Dotson and Tim Daniel and D'Angelo Jimenez. This is Nate Dotson saying so long, Cincinnati.